I'm an applied epidemiology fellow placed at the Ohio Department of Health, and today I'm going to be presenting on injuries sustained at swimming pools voluntarily reported to Ohio in 2015 and 2016. So the Ohio Department of Health does not systematically collect information on public swimming pool related injuries or deaths, and recognizing this gap in knowledge regarding preventable incidents, the Drowning Prevention Pilot Project was launched in 2015 to determine the frequency and circumstances of these occurrences in order to inform data-driven revision to statewide public swimming pool rules. The public pool and spa injury incident report form was developed and distributed to 23 local health departments for voluntary reporting in 2015. The report form was redesigned and the project expanded to 32 local health departments in 2016. Completed reports were submitted to ODH via email or fax during the 2015 and 2016 outdoor swim seasons and entered into a database using EpiInfo version 7.2. Descriptive statistics were produced for the number of reports received, injured person demographics, injuries sustained and results, and incident settings using SAS version 9.3. 83 and 196 reports were received between May and September 2015 and 2016, respectively. Reports were received from 17 facilities in 2015 and 24 facilities in 2016, with a median of 3 and 3.5 reports received per facility in 2015 and 2016, respectively. 73 or 88% and 181 or 92% of reports received in 2015 and 2016 were from government or city pools. Injured persons averaged 10 years of age in both years, with a range of 2 to 45 years in 2015 and 1 to 75 years in 2016. Injured persons were majority male, accounting for 67 and 59% of reports received in 2015 and 2016. Injured persons were predominantly white, comprising more than 75% of reports received each year, and non-Hispanic, though this variable was unexplicitly collected in 2015. And please note over the next few slides, the variables marked with an asterisk changed significantly between 2015 and 2016 and how they were determined. Zero drownings were reported in 2015. Three were reported in 2016, accounting for 1.5% of reports received. Seven reports, or 8%, received in 2015 indicated a near-drowning event. This figure increased to 61 reports, or 31%, received in 2016. Taken together, cuts, scrapes, and bumps and bruises were the most commonly reported injuries indicated on 27, or 33%, of reports received in 2015, and 63, or 32%, of reports received in 2016. Note that respondents were instructed to select more than one injury category if applicable. In 2015, 41 reports, or almost half of those received, did not indicate an injury, though these reports typically indicated that a water rescue had occurred. This figure fell to 12 reports received in 2016, or just 6%. The most commonly reported areas injured were the face or eyes, the foot or ankle, the leg, hip or knee, and the head or neck. 48 or 58% and 117 or 60% of reports received in 2015 and 2016 did not indicate an area injured. As seen with type of injury reported on the previous slide, these reports often indicated that a water rescue had been performed. Water rescues were indicated on 49 or 59% and 119 or 61% of reports received in 2015 and 2016. Despite this, resuscitation breathing was only reported once in 2015 and three times in 2016, accounting for less than 2% of reports received each year. Emergency medical service calls were indicated on 9 or 11% of reports received in 2015 and 11 or 6% of reports received in 2016. Two reports or 2% and 12 reports or 6% received in 2015 and 2016 respectively indicated that the injured person was transported to a medical facility. The provision of first aid by staff was indicated on 22 or 27% and 112 or 57% of incidents reported in 2015 and 2016. In 2015, 74 or 89% of reports received indicated that the injured person returned to water activity after the injury. This figure decreased to 60% in 2016, as indicated on 118 reports received. 67 or 81% of reports received in 2015 indicated the incident occurred outdoors. Among reports received in 2016, 107 or 54% indicated the incident occurred outdoors. 4 reports, or 5%, and 82 reports, or 42%, received in 2015 and 2016, respectively, did not indicate whether the incident occurred indoors or outdoors. This increase was likely due to changes in reporting form design between years. Reported incidents most commonly occurred at the main pool, the diving board, and the slide, accounting for 36, 24, and 18% of reports received in 2015, and 43, 21, and 18% of reports received in 2016. 17 or 21% and 60 or 31% of reports received in 2015 and 2016 did not indicate a location, though this is again likely due to changes in the design of the reporting form. You can all breathe, there's no more numbers. To conclude, characterizing the frequency and the circumstances of pool-related injuries can fill the knowledge gap regarding preventable injury and death. These data were presented to the Ohio Swimming Pool Rules Committee in December of 2016, resulting in a proposed revision to the Ohio Administrative Code to require the reporting of any incident associated with the pool facility that results in death, serious injury, or assistance from emergency medical personnel. These data have several limitations, most notably that reporting was voluntary and piloted with a small number of pool facilities in Ohio, so are not generalizable. Moreover, high rates of unspecified responses indicates issues with data quality. To address this, the injury incident reporting form is being revised ahead of statewide dissemination, and an online reporting tool for local health departments is being developed. Additionally, the accompanying training materials targeted at both pool operators and local health department personnel are being developed. I'd like to acknowledge those that supported this project, especially the previous applied epidemiology fellows Amanda Zabala and Lee Nelson, under whom this project actually started. Thank you very much. Person who owns and operates the pool, so it's the facility manager or the people on site that are there administering the pool.
So it might be an owner, it's the manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
So I was wondering, because this is all about public pools, but did you guys, I don't know, maybe just anecdotally, see any reason that you want to start looking at private pools as well? So at people's homes, although I guess people might not.
So that's less clear to me, and I'd have to discuss that with the person who's this program is hosted under the recreation program, and so they license pools, public pools, and so I'm not sure that private home pools would ever fall under this, but I do know that apartment pools and less publicly accessible are still required to be licensed by the state. So there is an interest in having that the program extend to that as well. I also kind of have that question as well. So I know that the main goal really was to try and they wanted to try and improve and understand improve the data around these incidents. It is a preventable, occurrence, and it is a leading cause of death among children in Ohio. And so I think it was to try and understand what. There wasn't data there to begin with, so they wanted to try and figure out what was going on. I didn't look at it that way. There was only three drownings, so.
It was, yeah.
We didn't look at it that way. It was one report per person. Yeah. So if there was three people that were injured, we requested that it was three reforms. Yeah.
Great. I just have a second question.
Okay. Go ahead, and then after that, then everybody who spoke could come up, and we have about 15 minutes left for general questions, and so we could open it up for all the speakers.
Thank you. So you mentioned that there were changes between the reporting form,
yeah,
and then subsequently the form is revised again. We operators or the people who are providing completing a report, and then if not for the second revision, are you doing any pilot testing to identify any areas of confusion or getting input on how the information is being collected to facilitate that process of diminishing the unspecified?
So, I was not there for the first revision, so I know that there was feedback that was requested from the participating local health departments, and I believe that was used to help drive that. And then we also did a feedback survey again this past December, and their responses are being incorporated into that redesign as well.
Did you have a question for Sean before everyone else comes back up?
Sure. Well, you mentioned that one of the concerns was that children tend to drown more than others. So with all these characteristics that you analyzed, and this great descriptive did you, or are you going to have a chance to sort of analyze which of these characteristics are more common among children versus other age groups?
It's a great suggestion. We can take a look at it that way.
Okay, if everybody else who spoke would like to come back up, and I want to come back to you because I didn't give you your opportunity to ask a question. You know, we can just stand along if we're going to ask questions.